All right, we rolling?
We are.
All right, episode three. Let's get this show on the road. Feels like it's been, forever. And a lot of shit has happened since we last recorded. So I say, let's just jump right into it and get to the football action. What'd you think?
Let's do it. A big weekend of football.
Oh, yeah. A big week altogether. But to start, we'll take you back to last Saturday, when Manchester United hosted Newcastle and slapped Newcastle around to a final score of 4-1 for the good guys. And for those of you who listen to episode 2, I actually predicted a 4-1 victory for Manchester United. That was the only score prediction of mine that actually, came to fruition over the course of the weekend. But I'm happy that listen.
We both projected a lot more goals than actually happened.
I know. It was a lot of 1-0, a lot of 1-0 games this past weekend.
Yeah.
But all right, here, I'm going to run through the game real quick. And then, you start wherever you want to. So Cristiano Ronaldo scored a goal in the 47th minute in stoppage time of the first half. Javier Manquillo, I think, for Newcastle, equalized in the 56th minute. Cristiano got a second goal, scored a brace in the 62nd minute. Bruno scored an absolute cracker in the 80th minute. And then to finish the game and kind of see out my prediction, Jesse Lingard, who we will talk about later in this podcast, scored a goal in the 92nd minute of stoppage time. So, yeah, where do you want to start with this one, Clark?
So, first impressions were, I was not surprised. We both projected that Ronaldo's first goal would probably be a penalty, but the way that he scored it did not, the first one at least, did not surprise me at all either. It was just a poacher's goal, little tap in.
He really didn't do anything. Greenwood obviously sent kind of like a wistful shot, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And the goalie really just made a mess of it, honestly.
Their goalkeeper did not have a good game. He was making mistakes left and right. But the second goal of Ronaldo's reminded me of his first tenure at United. He really showed off his pace. He outran the defender, which was impressive for a 36-year-old.
The movement was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. That's what you heard everyone, all the pundits, everyone on TV, all the soccer media, pretty much the narrative was Cristiano's old. He doesn't have the pace. He can't really make runs in behind. Well, he looked pretty damn good running behind that Newcastle defense right there.
He did. Third goal, Bruno. Just top left ends. Incredible goal. That goal, I wanted to bring up something about that goal. Because of that's the Ronaldo effect, I think. Because
they gave him the ball, so much space.
Yeah, the ball was sent out to, it was a really good punt by De Gea. That it was like a through ball. And then Pogba sent the ball over to Fernandez, and that's the most space I've ever seen him allowed with a shot. He was just able to set it up and hit it into the left corner. And if you looked at the strikers in front of him, there was five defenders around Greenwood and Ronaldo. And that's just because they were so worried about Ronaldo getting a hat trick and Greenwood's left foot. So that was very impressive.
And credit, you got to give Bruno a lot of credit because, it's like if a defense is going to give him that much space, let it fly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I was watching it live, and that was one of those where I just sat back in my seat and I was just like thinking to myself, what a fucking goal. There's really nothing else to say. Like, an absolute cracker. The goalie had no chance. Old Trafford absolutely erupted after that one.
And then final goal with Lingard. That was Pogba's goal, in my opinion. He was incredible in that sequence. He fights off, he bullies a defender. He passes it to Donny van de Beek, who plays one touch with him, gives it back to Pogba, and Pogba does this crazy little flick spin. He flicks it to Lingard and does like a little spin. You couldn't really even tell from where the camera was pointing where the ball went. Martial dummies it, and it just Yeah, it sets hoping, up perfectly hoping, for Lingard.
I was hoping, like, Pogba obviously did awesome on that goal. Like, unbelievable work from him. But I was going to say, like, I mean, usually I don't really have anything positive to say about Anthony Martial, but that dummy was unbelievable. Like, I mean, he obviously didn't touch the ball, didn't do anything, but that dummy completely fooled the Newcastle defense. And in my opinion, the dummy is why Lingard was able to score.
Yep, I totally agree. And then further impressions from the game. So there's been a lot of talk about Sancho. I think there's a lot of pressure on him because of the fee. I think that needs to relax. Just because, especially with this recent game, Newcastle's not the team for him. They're playing a back or two sets of five. So you had to break down that team. Sancho's strength is running at people and dribbling past them. You're not going to dribble past anyone if they have two banks of five. Newcastle did not show up to play football. They showed up to get a draw. That was their ultimate goal. They would have been very happy with a 0-0 draw.
I actually was pretty impressed by Newcastle. They showed up and their performance was a lot better than I expected. But I would say that for Sancho, I think we need to remember this kind of like idea of a Bundesliga tax, because I do think it's real. And what I mean by the Bundesliga tax is like when Premier League clubs buy guys from the Bundesliga is way more open, a lot more attacking football, not as like pragmatic. And teams in the Bundesliga, like, you know, low level teams in the Bundesliga aren't going to park the bus against like Bayern and Dortmund, this kind of teams. Like, they try to play attacking football as well. And that's why you see all these like exciting 4-3, 5-3 games in the Bundesliga. But, you know, a lot of times when guys come over from the German league, it takes them a while to kind of get their footing in the Premier League and kind of get their feet wet. And I mean, you're seeing that. I mean, Jadon Sancho is a case study in that. I mean, it's pretty clear to me he's not ready for the Premier League right now.
It's only been like three games, so I think it's early.
I think there was all the reason the hype train was behind him is because obviously it's Manchester United, biggest club in the world, but he's also a
young English player.
He was viewed as like an English prodigy.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of like that just only adds into the pressure. And you know, after that game, I was impressed by Lingard in that game, and I was thinking after that game I would drop Sancho and probably start Lingard in his spot, just because I know there's the pressure to start him, but like you got to do what's best for the team as the manager, you know. But
yeah, it's just,
my stance on Lingard changed midweek, but we'll get to that later.
I mean, there is politics in soccer. There's a lot of politics in soccer. You can't really drop a 78 million pound player. That's just kind of how it works.
That's how it works, but like it's just like he's not making an impact. You know, he really isn't.
I think it's one of those things where he just needs game time. I mean, I trust him to come good over Donny van de Beek.
And I mean, so
we're obviously it's a tough situation.
Yeah, it is tough, but the good news is we're recording this on Thursday the 16th. I don't know if you've seen this, but I've seen a lot of kind of reports and like rumors that Rashford is doing really well in his rehab. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be back much sooner than they expected. And I think once you're able to get Rashford back healthy and you start Rashford up there instead of Sancho, the team's going to look a lot better.
Yeah. I think along those lines, even putting Sancho on the right, which is his natural position, he's a right winger. That's where he's come up through academy. That's where he played at Dortmund. I think it will help him to put him in his natural position. But at the same time, if someone's outperforming him like Greenwood, then it is what it is. He's going to have to find playing time.
For me, if I was Ole, I think he will start Sancho again this weekend against West Ham. But personally, I would probably go with a front line of Ronaldo, Greenwood, and I would start Cavani. I would put Ronaldo out wide, understanding that he's going to drift inside and kind of let him and Cavani pretty much be like, you know, a striker pairing up top, essentially, and then play Greenwood with him. But before we move on from this game, I do want to say the first half was not good.
No, No, we started off very slow. I think we were trying. It was kind of clear that we were trying to force the ball into Ronaldo. We were trying to get him that first goal. It was kind of ugly.
Yeah. They were trying to force feed it. And I think also Ronaldo looked nervous a little bit to me. He even said so after the game. And I think that kind of shows you like the human element. Like, you know, he's obviously a superstar, but like even he had nerves and was like, you know, it was a really big moment for him. But yeah, the team was trying to force feed him in the first half. I actually thought Newcastle had the better chances in the first half. They're kind of leaving Saint-Maximin up top, and he would get the ball and he would start running at Maguire, and Maguire was struggling.
Along those lines, I think Varane again showed his qualities as a player. His pace was being able to complement Maguire well, because when Maximin was able to get past Maguire, he still had the pace to catch him. One thing I want to touch quickly before we move on. Pogba was incredible. Again, he's at 7 assists in 4 games. The record, by the way, is 20 in the league, and he's well on pace to break that. I mean, it's very early, but 7 assists in 4 games is incredible.
Yeah, Pogba's been on smoke this season, and also there's been a lot of rumors now that, like, with Cristiano's return, Pogba is leaning towards signing a new contract with United, which is great news, obviously. I mean, he's a world-class superstar. I'd much rather keep him
than anything. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. And then I also do want to say, so Cristiano Ronaldo has played 1 Premier League game this season. He has played 90 minutes in the Premier League season. I mean, he currently has scored more Premier League goals than Arsenal Football Club. Cristiano Ronaldo has 2 Premier League goals, and Arsenal Football Club has scored 1.
We probably won't talk about that game, but the goal they scored was trash, too. It took 6 attempts for them to put it in.
Here, let's run through the games real quick, and then you pick like 1 or 2 things that stood out to you. I'll go first, because I'm going to go with the first game. In the first game, Crystal Palace absolutely battered Tottenham 3-0. So obviously, Japhet Tanganga, right back for Tottenham, he got sent off in the second half. He got like 2 yellows in 2 minutes. Like, he completely lost his head. So Tottenham went down to 10 men in the second half. At that point, it was 0-0. Crystal Palace got 3 goals in the last 20 minutes. However, Palace absolutely dominated that game. I got up early. I watched the game. So Tottenham did not have Heung-min Son. They did not have Son, and they looked horrible. I mean, they had Kane. They had everyone except Son.
Harry Kane only touched the ball 30 times, which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Tottenham looked horrific without Son. I mean, obviously, everyone kind of views Harry Kane as their, like, biggest, most important player. But, I mean, to me, it's clear, like, Son is...
I think
he's
it's
the guy
too.
That makes that team go. Like, and then I also want to give a shout out to Edson Eduard, who
2 goals.
Yeah, so he's a new signing for Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace signed him from Celtic, I believe, in the Scottish Premier League. He came on in the 83rd minute, and so he debuted for Crystal Palace. He scored after being on the pitch for 30 seconds. His first touch was a goal. And then he also got a second goal in stoppage time. So he was on the field for less than 10 minutes and got 2 goals. I mean, what a debut. Like, gotta tip your cap to Edson Eduard. What a signing. I mean, looks great. I think he was also linked to Arsenal. Crystal Palace got him. I mean, it looks like a wonderful signing. And Patrick Vieira has Crystal Palace flying right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you picked them to get relegated in our first episode.
They looked a lot better than that.
Yeah, they look good. But here, we'll keep it moving. Arsenal beat Norwich 1-0. Do you have any thoughts on that one?
I took some notes on all the games. What a crap game. Arsenal wins, but it wasn't a very convincing win. The goal that Aubameyang scored went in after 3 missed shots. For a big 6 club, they still have a long way to go.
Yeah, I mean, the performance was not good for Arsenal, but I think really all that mattered for Arsenal was getting the 3
result.
Points in that one. Yeah, they got the 3 points. Yeah, I mean, that's all I don't think Arsenal's very good. I thought that goal was extremely lucky.
Yeah.
But moving on, Brighton got a 1-0 win at Brentford. And Leandro Trossard scored the winning goal in the 90th minute. And it was an unbelievable goal.
Brentford should have won that game. At a little before 10 minutes, Ivan Toney missed. He almost scored from the halfway mark. It was incredible. It's an incredible shot. It's on NBC, like, extended highlights. It's a very good shot. Brentford had most of the chances, but at the end of the day, Brighton scored the goal, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. And it was a wonderful goal. I mean, he really did a really good job. It was a great goal. And obviously, you know, Brighton's had a really good start to the season. They've got 9 points through four games. I mean, they got three wins out of four. I mean, for a club like Brighton, you can't really ask for a better start to the season. We'll keep it moving here. Another 1-0 game. Man City got a 1-0 win at Leicester. I didn't watch the game. I saw the goal. I thought it was kind of lucky. But according to, like, looking at the stats and everything, City pretty much dominated the game. I mean, they dominated possession.
I watched the highlights, like the extended highlights again. It was very competitive. I think that City were fortunate to leave with a draw because Leicester had about two or three pretty good City chances. City got a win. Yeah. No, sorry. I think City was fortunate to leave with a win and not get a draw. I think Leicester could have very easily have gotten a draw. But once again, City's players really just outshined Leicester's players. So
yeah, and Bernardo Silva was the guy who got the goal, and he was kind of like a Man City outcast who a lot of people thought was going to be out this summer. But I mean, he's another. I mean, they've got so much firepower. I kind of forgot about Bernardo, and there he is getting the winner for City. Keep it moving here. Southampton drew 0-0 with the West Ham. I mean, I don't think there's really anything to say about that game.
Yep. Southampton should have won the game. They had the most chances, but couldn't finish. So that's all I got on that.
And moving on, Wolves got a 2-0 win on the road against Watford. And I think I just got to say, because we've talked here a lot about, like, you know, Wolves create so many chances, but just has absolutely no end product.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was fitting that Wolves' first goal of the season was an own goal.
I wrote that down too.
Like, I mean, it just had to be like
their second goal was point blank, so there was literally it was impossible to miss. That cracked me up too.
But hey, Wolves got their first points of the season.
They got the result.
Congrats to Wolves. I mean, they dominated that game. They deserved the victory.
I just want to give a hand to the Watford defender who hit an absolutely perfect header into his own goal. It was beautiful. Just top left corner. It was gorgeous.
I have never, like, with the Champions League and Premier League, I have never seen so many own goals in my life this week. I mean, the week of own goals and some pretty horrific own goals, I might add. But we'll keep it moving here. Chelsea got a 3-0 win at home against Aston Villa. Obviously 3 points for Chelsea. My really only takeaway from this game was that I watched the game. So the score line is deceiving because Villa dominated parts of that game. Villa just had no end product. Chelsea just like was very clinical and finished all their chances. Lukaku got a brace and I mean, he's just on smoke. He's on fire. I mean, he looks unstoppable.
Yeah. That's the one game I don't have research on that one, but just Lukaku's got two goals, right? It was a brace by Lukaku, right?
Lukaku scored the first goal. There's a great through ball from Kovacic. Tyrone Mings from Aston Villa absolutely gifted the second goal. It was actually pretty similar to the one that Lingard gave Young Boys.
Just a shit pass.
Just a back pass that didn't have enough on it.
Yeah.
And guy just undercut it, put it right past the goalie. But we move on. So this game was a lot of talking points from this one. Liverpool getting the 3-0 victory on the road at Leeds. Do you have any thoughts on that game?
Yeah, it's another game that was outshadowed by a red card.
Yeah.
That results in the broken leg of, I, I, forget the player's name, but
Harvey Elliott, 18-year-old midfielder. I mean, this kid, he is 18 years old, and he's gotten a before he broke his ankle, he was starting over Jordan Henderson in that midfield, and he's 18 years old.
Did you think it was a red card?
I did not think that it was actually that bad of a tackle, but with how bad the injury was, I can understand why the red card was given.
That's how I was. I think if there's no broken leg, it's a yellow card to just a normal foul, but because of the outcome, it's a red card.
Yeah,
it just kind of is what it is.
I personally didn't think like it was there wasn't a lot of malicious intent in the tackle.
No, he definitely didn't mean to do it. It's just one of those things where it's like, if that happened outside of football, like you get like an assault charge.
Yeah,
just because of like, it doesn't even really matter if you don't mean to do it. It like, that's just, it is what it is.
And we got to shout out Mo Salah because he scored his 100th Premier League goal in that game, which he joins like a pretty exclusive club of guys who score 100 goals in the Premier League. The only other talking point I had about that game was Sadio Mane. Sadio Mane was horrible. Liverpool could have won that game 5-0 or 6-0, and Sadio Mane missed so many chances. He was so wasteful. I mean, point blank sitters that Sadio Mane was missing. And I think it's kind of getting the point. I mean, we talked about this in our kind of preview episode. I think Salah is still unbelievable. I like Diogo Jota a lot. I like Firmino still. But Sadio Mane, for me, has fallen off a lot in the last year.
He was terrible last year, too.
Yeah, he just doesn't... He's not clinical like he used to be. Mm. I mean, it even looks like his pace is kind of dropping off a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised to see him get dropped by Liverpool here pretty soon.
It's really crazy how far he's dropped off, because that... The title-winning season that they had 2 years ago, there were people saying that he should have like been in the Ballon d'Or competition with Van Dijk and, of course, Lewandowski.
He used to be, you know, an absolute highlight reel, and he just,
yeah.
I mean, you said, I mean, last season wasn't good, and this season he looks even worse.
It's like Adama Traore, he just has a bunch of chances, and he can't finish anymore.
Yeah, like, I mean, if those chances fell to Salah instead of Sadio Mane, that game ends up being like 5-0 or 6-0.
Yeah.
All right, but
last game, Everton Burnley. I can run it through. It was 3-1 Everton. Their goal scorers were Keane, Gray, and Townsend. Townsend had a
fucking goal,
absolute rocket. Yeah, it was a fucking magnificent goal from Townsend.
I mean, he was gonna be my star of the week because, I mean, that's the goal of September. That's the goal of the month. I mean, there's nothing beating that. That was an absolute cracker.
Yes, I agree. I completely agree.
I mean, there's really nothing to say.
That's the last game of the weekend, yeah.
All right, so let's move it on. Obviously, the Champions League kicked off this week, and United had their first of 6 group stage games. We traveled to Switzerland to play Young Boys, and we took the loss, and we lost 2-0, or 2-1.
No, 2-1.
2-1 at Young Boys. Obviously, Young Boys scored the winner with like 15 seconds left in injury time. Mm-hmm. Another game that the red card is probably the biggest talking point. Is that where you want to start?
Yeah, I think we win that game if there's no red card. I absolutely think we win that game if there's no red card. It happened like right at the 20-minute mark of the game. That's so early to have a red card.
And obviously,
I think you'll probably disagree with me, but I agreed with a bunch of Ollie's substitutions. He brought in DeLow immediately. I thought that was the right choice. However, it did look like we had never trained for a 10-man situation. We looked lost, absolutely lost. It's a lot of that is unexcusable from a manager's standpoint. It was very ugly. We were scrambling for 60 minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah, before we talk about that, so obviously it was Aaron Wan-Bissaka was sent off. I want to first get your thoughts. Like, did you think it was a red card?
It's so I looked at from I don't know. I didn't think it was when I first saw it, but then I saw it was kind of unanimous from even United fans that it was a red card because it's an open boot. So when you have an open boot, it's kind of, they kind of always give you a red card for that. But it didn't look that malicious. I don't know.
So he was sent off in the 35th minute. I thought straight
red was a little cruel, like a little harsh.
I agree. So personally, I don't have an issue with the referee giving the red card. However, if that happened in the Premier League, that's a yellow card.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that kind of shows like the difference. Like in the Champions League, they're not going to let you get away with that kind of stuff. The Champions League is obviously like all eyes of Europe are on the Champions League, and they're going to be a little bit more strict and not let you get the Premier League. Like that's just for me, it's not a red card in the Premier League.
I think that's something that's going to be interesting this year because in the Premier League, the refs have been told to chill on fouls. So they've been letting the players play through a lot of like heavy challenges. So it'll be interesting to see teams go to Europe and have to adjust to that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like if you have VAR, like utilize it. Like, let it play mm-hmm. through, and if you need to go back and check, go back and check. But I was a little surprised that the referee just, like, gave him a straight red without even going to VAR first. But, like, kind of looking at the tackle back, like, you can't really be, like, upset with it, you know?
No, I'm not upset about it. I just thought it was more of a yellow. I thought it was a little harsh for a straight red.
I mean, it
I
was
think if he had had a warning before, it would have made sense, but it was, like, his first foul of the game.
Yeah, it was stupid. It was stupid.
It was his fault. He had a terrible first touch, and he was scrambling, and he just threw his foot out. So yeah,
it was an ass clown move. We'll say that. And I also do think that that tackle could have some kind of consequences for Wan-Bissaka because a guy that you mentioned a few minutes ago, Diego Dalla. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's gonna have a chance mm-hmm. to take Wan-Bissaka's spot.
Not in the Premier League, but and he'll be able to play in Europe.
Well, if he plays well, I mean,
I don't see that happening.
He offers a lot more going forward.
But Wan-Bissaka is probably the best one. Yeah, but Wan-Bissaka is probably the best one-on-one defender in the entire world. So,
yeah, I mean, but listen, the game was disappointing for me. Obviously, Cristiano, Mr. Champions League, got a goal in the first 13 minutes. I wasn't watching the game; I was working. Once I got mm-hmm. the notification that Cristiano scored, I'm like, oh, we're about to win this like 5-0.
Yeah.
Obviously, the game did not go that way. We went down to 10 men in the 35th minute. And then we were absolutely dominated by Young Boys from that point forward. Obviously, for me, the 10-man excuse, like, it's bullshit, doesn't cut it for me. Because even with Wan-Bissaka off, you had over 100 million pounds worth of players on the pitch. And just, like, the talent disparity, I know it's 10 versus 11, but, like, I don't know. It's just not – it's not an excuse for me. Like, losing is one thing, but it looked like we kind of gave up, and, like, Young Boys just absolutely dominated us. You would have thought that we were – that United was playing in the Swiss League and that Young Boys was, you know, a top-four level Premier League team. I mean, it was really shocking. And so they equalize in the 66th minute.
So do you blame that on Ollie?
I mean, listen.
Because I think
it's got to go on the players for me.
Exactly. I'm the same way. Because I think he made the right choices in his substitutions, but the players didn't perform. So there's only so much a manager can do.
Yeah, I mean, listen. Even when you go down 10 men, like, you know, I mean, dig your feet in and defend. Like, sometimes you're going to have to... You're going to have circumstances and you're going to have to, you know, park the bus and defend a little bit.
We went five in the back against fucking Young Boys and we were struggling.
In the second half, we brought on Varane and we were playing five at the back with three center backs. We had Maguire, Lindelof, and Varane all playing
and then
next
you
to
have
each other.
And then we brought in Matic to have basically a four center back.
And we were still getting battered by Young Boys. And so you gave Paul Pogba a lot of praise earlier. So after the red card, for me, you know, Bruno Fernandes and Paul Pogba just kind of disappeared. I mean, they went on vacation for the rest of the game after that point.
We scrambled the entire game. It's the last 20 minutes was kind of gross to watch. It was basically young boys attacking, us getting the ball back, like intercepting the ball, and then just booting it forward.
Yeah.
But there was no one forward, so they would just get the ball and attack again. So it was just that for 20 straight minutes.
But besides the red card, we got to talk about Young Boys' second goal that won them the game. Because Young Boys didn't really win the game, we gave them the game. And Jesse Lingard specifically gave them the game. Obviously, everyone makes mistakes. You know, obviously, professional soccer players make mistakes. But that was a horrible, horrible mistake in the absolute worst moment. And it was the difference between us, you know, holding a draw and everyone in the group being level at one point. What were your thoughts? It was shocking. It really was.
It was bad, but I've got a soft spot in my heart for Jesse, so I have a hard time saying anything bad against him.
I mean,
it was a really bad pass, but in the future outlook of this group, I'm not worried about it at all. I don't think this game is going to have any effect on our Champions League hopes.
Yeah,
I think it's more of a wake-up call than anything.
I mean, it was a kick in the ass, and I hope it's a wake-up call for that team. And the reality of the situation is that we have 5 group stage games left. And if you want to be sure of kind of making it to the knockout stages, you got to win 3 out of those 5 games.
Mm-hmm. I think we can. I'm not worried about it.
Yeah. And obviously, our next game is in 2 weeks. We play Villarreal at home. And that's kind of like a must win. I mean, now at this point, we got to win our home games, you know?
Yeah.
That's just the reality of the situation.
Did you see Jesse's Instagram post?
I did. I saw, I mean, he obviously all the,
I mean, he's,
the rest of the team supported him.
He's beating himself up about it more than anything we can say about it.
I mean, he should be beating himself up. Like, it was shocking. And obviously, we were talking about this with the Premier League. After the game against Newcastle, I was kind of thinking that until Rashford gets back, I would start Lingard out wide over Sancho. But I mean, after that, I don't think you can start Lingard.
I just hate it for the guy because he's had basically a year and a half of rebuilding himself, and he's been on the up and up and up and up, and then that happens, and then it's just like come back to earth a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think Lingard's probably he's got to leave the club next summer. I think we should have done.
I personally, he didn't want to leave this last transfer winter.
He should have gone. He should have gone to West Ham. Yeah.
He should have.
He was
just
on
to get the play time.
He was on smoke for West Ham last season when he was on loan. He would be starting every game for West Ham, and now he's going to be sitting on the United bench. But he's obviously getting paid a shit ton of money. And he made that decision. So I mean, it was shocking, but obviously you got 5 games to go. I still think we're gonna get to the knockout stages, but there's a lot of pressure on Ole and a lot of pressure on the team now moving forward, that's for sure. No more hiccups in the group stage, that's for sure. All right, should we move on and do a quick little preview of match week 5 of the games this weekend?
Let's do it.
All right, so the first game we got on Friday afternoon, we got Leeds traveling to Newcastle to play Newcastle at St. James Park.
Do Leeds have any points yet?
Leeds have 1 point. Actually, before we get into the games, let's talk about the table real quick. Okay. So currently we have a 4-way tie at the top of the table on 10 points. We got Manchester United, Chelsea, Everton, and Liverpool all on 10 points at the top of the table.
We're on the top because of goals for that, by the way.
Yeah. But that, I mean,
yeah, it doesn't really fucking matter.
And then we got 3 teams with 9 points in 5th, 6th, and 7th. And that's Man City, Brighton, and Tottenham. So, I mean, obviously it's early, But, I mean, you're already seeing it. Those title challengers, United, Chelsea, Liverpool, and City, they're all they're already at the top of the table, and they're already kind of – I feel like the table is already kind of starting to take shape, and we're going to see that title chase really kick on.
And then you've got you've got Leicester, Tottenham, Everton, West Ham also right there for the Europa League spots that we also predicted.
Yeah. It's going to be – I mean – we're in for a hell of
a... It'll be a fun year.
Yeah. But obviously, the first game this weekend on Friday afternoon, Leeds traveling to Newcastle. That game doesn't really get me that excited. I'm not going to watch it. But
no, me neither.
I think Leeds is obviously the better club. They should get out of that one with a win, but it's the Premier League, so you never know.
I can see Saint-Maximin just scoring one and Leeds struggling the entire game.
Yeah, I mean, on Saturday, this weekend, there's not really any marquee games. Arsenal plays Burnley, which is should be an interesting one because I wouldn't be surprised if Arsenal lose like 1-0 at Burnley and find themselves back at the bottom of the table.
Yeah.
Man City plays Southampton. They should batter Southampton.
Wolves, Brentford will be fun because that's two teams who can't finish. So you'll see a lot of really near misses.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of chances created in that game, but probably not a lot of goals.
Exactly.
I guess the only really big game on Saturday is Aston Villa, Everton. Yeah, Aston Villa hosting Everton. I mean, that should be a really good game. Villa obviously lost 3-0 last week against Chelsea, but their performance is pretty good. Like, the scoreline was kind of deceiving. And obviously Everton is on smoke to start the season.
What's your score prediction on that? Mine's 2-1 Aston Villa. I think Everton's due a loss.
I think Villa's going to get some goals because they create a lot of chances, but just Edouard Mendy, the goalie for Chelsea, was unbelievable in that game. He was the man of the match. I honestly, like, I know I predict a lot of goals. Like, I think I would go draw here, and I think it could be like a 2-2 draw.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Everton has showed so far this season, they've got goals in them. I mean, Damari Gray, Richarlison, obviously Dominic Calvert-Lewin. I mean, they got a lot of...
I think just... my thing is Everton's just going to Everton. So I think at one point they're just going to start falling off.
Yeah, I mean,
they're just going to drop like a rock.
I hope they drop points because we don't need another team like kind of hanging around the top of the table and competing for, spots in Europe, you know?
Yeah.
All right, but we do have three pretty big games on Sunday this weekend. The first...
Well, two.
Well, I mean, listen, Brighton... I mean, let's start with... So, Brighton is hosting Leicester. I mean, okay. Brighton has had a really good start to the season. I mean, they're sitting on 9 points with City right now. They're hosting Leicester. I would not be shocked if Brighton's able to kind of dig their heels in for the first... I mean, dig their heels in and, you know, pull a result out against Leicester. What do you think about that one?
I would be very shocked if Leicester doesn't win that game.
Yeah. I mean...
Brighton has not really played anyone yet.
Yeah, I think I've just been really impressed by Brighton so far this season. Yeah. They really haven't played any, like, top clubs, but I have been impressed with their squad and kind of their performances they've been putting on the field. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, on Sunday, it's a big one for us. Yeah, Manchester United traveling to play West Ham in London, and that's going to be a big game. I mean, it's going to be a tough game for us, I think. What do you think?
Yeah. We always play West Ham well. I don't know why. I think it's David Moyes, who's the West Ham coach. He used to coach at United, and there's some animosity of United fans towards David Moyes. I think we win that one 2-0. I think we turn it around. I'm not going to say who the goal scorers are because I don't know. But I think it's a fairly comfortable game after the mishap at midweek.
Yeah, hopefully we can keep our form rolling in the Premier League here. Oh, this is another thing I want to ask you because personally, I was thinking about this. I'm happy that we took the bad loss in the Champions League this week rather than the Premier League. Like, I'm happy that we, like, played bad and lost to Young Boys rather than playing bad and losing at home to Newcastle.
Yeah, the league is more important to me than the Champions League. We're not in the Man City area where we win the league every other year. So their only goal is to win the Champions League at this point, and winning the league is just a cherry on top.
Yeah, so I actually think that personally, I think we have a better chance of winning the Champions League this season than we do.
I do too.
Winning the Premier League. But I'm just happy that we did not take a shocking loss like that in the Premier League.
No, I agree.
But so how would you set the team up?
It's same back four. Bissaka, Varane, Maguire, Shaw, De Gea in goal. Is Henderson back yet?
So do you know? Like, yeah, that's an interesting one because I think he's like back in training right now. But De Gea has been playing pretty well.
He's been playing well. I just like Henderson because he comes out more. He protects his box a little more than De Gea.
It's only a matter of time.
It's personal preference, yeah.
Yeah, it's really just a matter of time until Henderson takes over the number one position. I think Ole is just waiting for like one really bad De Gea fuck up and mistake so that he has an excuse to kind of make the switch, you know?
All right, so this is important. Is this how I would set up the team, or how Ole will set up, or Ole will set up the team?
How you would set up the team? Because I actually have differences, so I'll run through mine after.
So it's the same as last week. It'd be McTominay, Bruno, Pogba, Greenwood, Ronaldo, Sancho.
And I do think,
but how I think Ole's going to put Fred in for McTominay. I know he's gonna play Fred. He fucking loves Fred for some reason.
Yeah, we'll see. Personally, so I'm gonna go a little bit different here. I would set up this squad. I'd have De Gea in goal. I think you gotta leave him in until he makes a mistake.
Yeah, it's gonna be De Gea.
Yeah, at center back, Maguire and Varane. That's gotta be the starting pairing. For me, I would punish one Bissaka and start Dalot at left back. Or right back, and obviously Luke Shaw at left back. Luke Shaw, for me, might be United's best player so far this season. I mean, I love Luke Shaw. He is so good. And I think you're going to be seeing a lot of Luke Shaw crosses to Cristiano this season. But in the midfield...
Wait. Over Pogba with 7 assists?
I think that Luke Shaw is more, like... I don't know. I always lean towards like, defenders more. And I think Luke Shaw, like, he's just so solid. I mean, he doesn't make mistakes. I mean, he's so good defending, so good going forward. I think, for me, he's surpassed Robertson and kind of supplanted himself as the best left back in the Premier League. But in the midfield, I would go Pogba, Fernandes, McTominay. And then I kind of talked about this up top. I would go Greenwood, Ronaldo, and Cavani to start.
That'd be a fun... I mean, that's a fun game.
Yeah.
If Cavani... I'd love to see Cavani and Ronaldo play in the same game. I just don't know if it's going to be against West Ham.
I don't think Ole would do it, but personally, I would drop Sancho and start Cavani.
I think he will do it. I don't think it's this game, though.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. But the last game of the weekend is another pretty big one. We got Chelsea not really traveling because they're staying in London, to play Tottenham at Tottenham's, like, you know, outrageous stadium. So what are your thoughts on that one? I personally think, obviously, Tottenham's playing at home. They're going to have their fans. I believe Son is going to be back for that game. However, I still think that, I mean, with the way Tottenham looked last week, I think Chelsea's just going to be too much.
If Son's back, then it kind of changes the dynamic.
But for me,
I still think it's a 2-1 Chelsea win, and it's a fairly comfortable Chelsea win. If Son doesn't play, I can see a 3-0 game for Chelsea.
Like, even,
I think they will absolutely dominate them if Son doesn't play.
Yeah. I mean, without Son, Tottenham has zero like creativity and like just no one to create chances for Harry Kane or anyone in that team. They've really got nothing going forward without Son. But even with Son, like, I mean, Son might be able to create one goal against Chelsea with how good their defense is. But, I mean, I just don't see anyone stopping Lukaku right now. I mean, he's a freight train.
I just can't stand Chelsea, so I can't.
I can't stand him either, but like, we just got to call it how we see it. And they've been, they look like the best team in Europe to me right now.
As an American United fan, I know in England, the big teams are City, of course, because that's a derby, Liverpool, because that's another derby, and then Leeds is the other team. For me, it's Liverpool, City, and Chelsea are my three teams. Because, I mean, obviously, I wasn't born in the 90s, so the Leeds rivalry doesn't mean anything to me. But I can't stand Chelsea.
Yeah, I get it. You were talking about that earlier. It's kind of weird. So, I mean, we talked about this. I live in Austin. There's a shit ton of Liverpool fans in Austin. Like, on the weekend, you see so many people wearing Liverpool stuff. And there's this bar that's, like, you know, less than half a mile from my apartment complex.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, like, it's pretty much like a Liverpool bar. And anytime Liverpool plays, they've got, like, a massive crowd there to watch the game. And they get rowdy, like, so loud. It's pretty cool. But yeah, it's just kind of weird. There's a shit ton of Liverpool fans in Austin, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that kind of wraps it up. I'm excited for the weekend. I mean, obviously, hopefully United can kind of keep their form. And if we can pull 3 points away at West Ham, that would be huge.
I think we can and we should.
Yeah.
So.
All right, before we wrap it up here, you want to do a little American football talk real quick?
Yeah, let's do it.
What'd you think first week in the NFL? What'd you think?
Fucking Fitzpatrick.
I know.
Jesus Christ.
The Fitzmagic show did
falling
not.
Falling apart in the first half. What the hell? First quarter. What the hell was that?
I know.
My God.
Yeah, I mean.
But it was nice. It was nice to have the NFL back.
Yeah, it was awesome. I guess you guys are, obviously you guys are about to kick off.
Honestly. Yeah, we're about to kick off, and
so I guess I mean the football
20 minutes
rolling with Taylor Heinicke now.
I you know what's bad though? I like Taylor Heinicke a lot just because of that playoff performance.
He did not.
I don't
look
have
good
any other proof
when he went in.
Yeah, he scored a touchdown. At least he drove down and scored a touchdown.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that with Ron Rivera as the head coach.
Didn't sign Cam?
Yeah, that they didn't reach out to Cam Newton. And for me, with Cam Newton not like getting signed by the Washington football team, I think Cam Newton's career is over. I mean, like, if Ron Rivera's not going to sign him after Fitzmagic goes down in, like, the first quarter of the first game, like...
I think that's Snyder. I think Snyder said, I have no desire to sign that kid. I think Rivera was probably like, hey, let's go sign Cam Newton. And Snyder was like, nope.
Yeah, and obviously... So, we talked about this on the last episode. I was pretty confident about my Bucks playing the Cowboys on the first weekend. And that game was an absolute thriller. I mean, a complete stress fest for me. In the end, I mean, we're 1-0. That's all that matters. You got the win. But I was pretty impressed by the Cowboys. Dak looked fucking great. I mean, Dak looked really, really good. I mean, we have a good defense. And, I mean, he looked like a top 5, top 10 quarterback to me.
Yep.
I think people are underestimating the Cowboys. I think that they're going to win that division.
No, I absolutely agree with you. I think they will definitely win the division.
I think,
however, their defense is still really bad.
It's still so bad, but they're going to be
gonna, in the playoffs, that'll be their weakness, but they're going to win the division like comfortably.
They're going to be able to outscore most teams in the regular season.
We're pretty bad. It sucks. We're bad again.
Yeah. So... Do you have any
Our defense even looked bad.
Were there any other teams really that kind of stuck out to you? I mean, obviously for me, I think you got to give a shout out to Kyler Murray because holy shit, was he like electric against the Titans. I mean, like he was just like playing with the Titans, like doing whatever the hell he wants, like just scrambling around, running around for like 15, 20 seconds in the backfield and like, oh, I'm just going to launch it downfield like 25 yards for completion. I mean, he was unbelievable. I think if Kyler Murray is able to play like that for the rest of the season, he will be the league MVP this season.
Yeah. Teams that stood out to me, I would say the Saints, but they didn't really stand out to me.
Well,
I think the Packers stood out to how bad they were.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that. Aaron Rodgers looked awful.
So everyone gave Jameis a lot of love, and like obviously Jameis played well.
140 yards.
Yeah,
he didn't do anything.
And the Saints are a good team. I do think that the Saints are going to be a playoff team this season. However, for me, the takeaway was like, my God, were the Packers pathetic.
Yeah.
Like,
they were awful.
There's really nothing else to say about it. It was completely pathetic. And honestly, like, Aaron Rodgers, with the shit that he was pulling, like, in the offseason, all the drama about how he wants to get out of Green Bay, I mean, the fact that he showed up and just, he was horrific.
He looked like he was doing it on purpose on some of those throws.
I mean,
I've never seen him look like that. Literally never. He's never looked that bad.
Yeah, I mean,
even when he was a rook, like young, he did not look like that.
Yeah, I think obviously it's week one, so there's a lot of overreactions, but I mean, yeah. The Packers might fall apart this season, and I think Rodgers might have kind of like one foot in the door, one foot out the door, just kind of like, I mean, it looks like he didn't give a shit in that game. I mean, there was his second interception. I don't know if you saw it. Like, he pretty much just threw a deep ball, and
is that the one he skied and the safety just like caught it? Like,
I mean,
yeah,
that's Aaron Rodgers doing that. I mean, like, yeah, that was literally like a pass that he was just like, fuck it, I'm just gonna
fuck it, I'll just chuck it. Yeah,
like,
yeah,
yeah, it was bad. Yeah, I mean, any other thoughts? The Ravens Raiders game on Monday night was electric.
Yeah.
I thought, in our division at least, I mean, the Eagles blew the freaking doors off the Falcons. The Falcons are fucking terrible.
That picture of Matt Ryan on the ground is hilarious.
We're playing the Falcons at home this week. Obviously, I think the Falcons will play better, but my God,
did you see the Tom Brady video?
Yeah.
Did you see the Tom Brady video where he's got the 28-3 behind him?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly kind of feel bad for the Falcons because it's, like, comical how bad they are. I think we're going to blow the doors off of them this week.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm excited. Got another great weekend of football, another great weekend of soccer coming up. So, should we wrap it up and do our Ask Clowns and Stars?
Let's do it.
All right, you want to go first? We'll start with Ask
Clown. Yeah, I'll start off with my star. I'll start with my Ask Clown, whichever one. I'll start off with the Ascom. So I did say last week that I wasn't going to go political, but
let's hear it, baby.
Some fucking news came out. Did you hear about General Milley?
Okay. So I don't know the General Milley story other than like, I saw him trending on Twitter a shit ton this week, but that's really all I know.
Well, he just committed fucking treason. And of course, no one's going to care about it because the left likes him. So who cares, right?
Is he liberal?
Yes. So what happened was, it was like towards the end of Trump's presidency. It was in October of 2020. He called the head of the Chinese military and said, "Hey, I just want to let you know that America is stable and we are not going to attack you." Okay. Well, that's great and all, but like, on whose authority did you call the Chinese general and say that? Oh, just on his own. Yeah, it's just his idea. And then he calls him a couple weeks later and says, "Hey, just want to let you know that America is stable. And if the president decides to attack you, I will call you beforehand and let you know." That is treason. If you warn your mortal enemy that you were going to attack them, that removes the element of surprise, so meaning treason.
Pretty much you're telling me that he chose the Chinese over the U.S.
Absolutely.
Scumbag.
And you know what's going to happen? Nothing.
Because
the Democrats are in control, and he was fighting against Trump, so it doesn't really matter.
He'll probably write
if this happened, if a general did this, and he said that about Biden, I would say the same thing. It's still treason. It doesn't matter what your party lines are. If you are a general, you respond to the civilian head of the state. That's how the fucking army works.
Yeah, unfortunately,
it doesn't.
Unfortunately, that's not how reality works in politics. And honestly, obviously, he won't be prosecuted for treason. And I'll probably write a book about it in like 2 years, do a big press tour, go on CNN, MSNBC, and all the liberals will buy the book and love it. And he'll just shit on Trump.
Yeah, they're all good. Jerk off to him.
Yeah.
It's so annoying. And then star of the week is Ronaldo just for scoring 2 goals.
Yeah, big up my guy, CR7.
I do need to say something though. The United fans definitely need to work on the celebration, the Sioux celebration. They are not ready. So I was watching a United podcast, and one of the guys was saying English fans, whenever someone scores, they just all shake each other like, oh, fuck yeah, let's go. Yeah. They're not paying attention to what the player's doing. They need to pay attention when Ronaldo scores. So when he does his little hand thing, when he does the spin, everyone's ready for the soo.
Yeah. A funny,
not ready for that yet.
A funny little tidbit. I saw this in like a interview after the game. So apparently all the players like talked about it with Ronaldo after, and they all thought Ronaldo was going to score. And they pretty much all agreed that they were all like, the entire team was going to go do the celebration together after Ronaldo's first goal. Except Ronaldo scored, and he like sprinted as fast as he could to the corner so he could do it before anyone else on the team got there. Which is just
like, this is my moment.
Yeah, which is just,
yeah, y'all can fuck off.
I mean, listen, he got the goal. I mean, Cristiano.
Do you hear about dessert? Lee Grant said about dessert. Yeah. Yeah, so apparently they had dessert before the game. The night before the game, like, they always offer dessert because, like, it doesn't really matter what you eat before a game. And all the players were just sitting down. They were like, what's Ronaldo going to eat? And Ronaldo didn't go up for dessert, so no one went up for dessert, which I think is a little funny little tidbit.
The Ronaldo effect. All right, so for my ass clown, honestly, I kind of got, like, a general one we talked about earlier. For me, this has kind of been, like, the week of own goals. And just all these defenders and goalies, like, committing these own goals. I mean, complete ass clowns. Like, I was going to be Jesse Lingard, but I feel like we've already kind of shit on him enough. So I don't want to do him too dirty. And then another, I kind of just call myself out here. I don't know if you can really see it through the Zoom thing right now, but we had a little, like, boating, like, lake company boat outing right now, and my dumbass did not put on sunscreen, and I look like a cherry red tomato right now, and I'm about to be suffering for it when I take a shower.
Have fun with that shower.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one. And then for my star of the week, I mean, we kind of already touched on it. I got to go with Andros Townsend from Everton. That goal was an absolute fucking cracker. I would highly encourage anyone who has not seen that goal to, like, go on YouTube, search it, and watch it, because that, I mean, it might be the best goal of the season. I mean, that's kind of
gorgeous.
Yeah, what a fucking goal.
Yeah, completely agree.
All right, we got another episode in the books here, baby.
Yes, we do. I just want to say, wrapping up, I did put this up on Apple Podcasts, so that should be coming up later this week. As always, it will be on Spotify and Anchor, and there's about five other platforms like Google Podcasts and all these other ones that one's ever heard of.
Once we get it up, like, I'll post the Spotify and Apple Podcasts on my Instagram stories. Clark, I mean, we can both do that. Yeah.
All right. We will talk to y'all next week.
Wait, before we go, are your boys going to win tonight, Clark?
Giants? Oh, absolutely. All right.
We'll see.
Yes. Hail to the Redskins. See ya.